On this week's episode of the Wealth Collective podcast, with interest rates on the rise and no end in sight, we take a look at what type of things you should be thinking about as interest rates continue to climb. Enjoy.
Everything we talk about on today's podcast is general advice only because we don't know your individual personal situation. Before you act on anything we've spoken about, you should chat to your financial advisor, and if you don't have one, feel free to reach out to us. Now, on to today's show.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Wealth Collective podcast. It's Pete Pennicott here and I'm joined in the studio again with my co-host, as always, Zach Masters.
Hey Pete, how you going?
Feeling good. Some nicer weather. Getting my concreting done in the backyard.
How's that going?
The mud patch is gone, which is great. Yeah. So sanity restored. The dogs are no longer doing zoomies around the room, leaving mud footprints all over the place. So that is good. School holidays as well.
School holidays.
It's exciting. Good to see people out and about.
Public holidays next week have we got?
Yeah. Mourning the Queen. celebrating the grand final. You got an early tip for the grand final for AFL?
Anyone but Geelong, hopefully.
Yeah.
I'm an Adelaide supporter, so as long as Dangerfield doesn't win one, I'll be pretty happy with any of the above. I think I like watching Collingwood at the moment, which is weird to say as a non-Collingwood supporter. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. Just get behind the flag pies, but also wouldn't begrudge Buddy Franklin for winning one before he sort of hangs up the boots. So
yeah, definitely. Who have you got to make the grand final?
I'm hoping Brisbane and Collingwood. That's my early pick. So don't take that as financial advice, though. So but yeah, who have you got?
I've got the exact opposite. I've got Geelong and Sydney as my picks to get in.
No, I'll check back in with you next week.
That's it. Looking at my tipping throughout the year, though, I wouldn't be following that either. So what are we going to talk about today?
I think the thing on the tip of everyone's tongue and the front of everyone's mind at the moment is interest rates going up. So for some people, that's a bit of a headache and a bit of a problem, but it also may present an opportunity for other people. So depending on where you're at in terms of your financial situation, your stage of life, what I was hoping to unpack today was just talking through what does it mean? Well, as interest rates get higher, and I don't think anyone, after we saw the inflation read this week in the US, thinks that we're at the end of the rate rise cycle. So if we're going to keep getting higher interest rates, what does that mean? So how does that impact your decisions around cash? How does it impact your decisions around investing? How does it impact your decisions around debt?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping you've got all the answers prepared for us. So I've come very underprepared for this one. So over to you.
Well, yeah, Philip Lowe came out today, this morning.
And who's Philip Lowe?
The RBA governor. So it looks after pretty much all the decisions, was the main honcho. That makes the decisions around what your mortgage rate looks like.
But is he just under the thumb of the government? Or?
No, they're meant to be at arm's length. So there's a little bit of interest around this at the moment.
Sorry.
Some people in government are calling for his head at the moment. But yeah, he's meant to be at arm's length from the government and separate from the government. So he's come out and said that more interest rate rises are coming. So for people that are already stressed or worried about the mortgage rate, interest rate, there's a little bit more to come. So obviously with, at the moment, what I've been seeing with a few clients is that those that are doing regular savings plans into investments, potentially starting to reconsider those, and do you now start to look to pay down debt? There's going to be quite a few people now that we're getting in that range of maybe if you've got a fixed rate for 2 years, you might be starting to come out of that, and that hit is going to be a little big. But if we're talking about paying down your mortgage versus investing, what are the first things that people need to think about, Pete?
I think it's the fundamentals. You go back to what's your personal situation look like. I think where I'd start with all of this is have your expenses changed. So I think what's driving interest rates going up is cost of living's going up. So inflation's going up, and that's the measure. Basket of goods, how does it impact the everyday consumer? It doesn't impact everyone the same, but a lot of our lives are getting a hell of a lot more expensive, especially now you're sort of getting out and about and sort of moving around a bit more. The services are very, very expensive. Anything that's got humans involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
I know robots have replaced a lot of things, but now I sort of, we got served by a robot the other day in a you know, for lunch. Yep. Yeah, so it was interesting.
I was up in Collins Street at an office, and there was just a robot walking around. I don't know what it was doing, but it was a fairly big sized robot at 101 Collins Street.
Oh, I thought you just met me before I had a coffee. So. No, but I'd sort of look at that and go, what do I need? So what are my annual expenses? Because I think a cash reserve is probably the number one thing that you need to be thinking through. Because what it does, it gives you breathing space, gives you options. Make sure you don't have to make dumb financial decisions. You know, you don't have to sell anything at a fire sale, get into a panic in most normal circumstances. So sometimes life throws you absolute curveballs and you can't plan for everything. Otherwise, you'll sort of take no action. So that's what I'd be inclined to do. And as a rule of thumb, I'd say unless you'd want to have at least 6 months worth of your core living expenses, I think, and including some lifestyle in there as well. So not necessarily your best case scenario about all of the, you know, travel and all the sort of exciting things you want to do, but sort of to run your everyday life, what does that look like? Have 6 to 12 months in there, sort of 6 month minimum. Once you get over 12 months, probably you look for other investment opportunities beyond that.
Yeah. Where does this normally sit? Do you sit this in just an everyday cash account? Where do you normally look to put this?
Depends. So it depends. It's for everyone. So you want no capital volatility is key.
Yeah.
So very, very low capital volatility. So if you've got a loan, sort of especially a main residence, so your family home, that'd be a really good place to stuff it in an offset account. So you've got it at call, but it is offsetting interest, and interest rates are on the rise. So you're not going to make money on it, which is important to know with an offset account. So no interest is earned, no taxable income is created. What it does, it creates a reduction in your interest expense on your home loan,
yep.
Which is good. So it saves you money. And it saves you dollar for dollar in terms of the interest saving, which yep. is really good. So you don't have to sort of worry about going, oh, am I put it in a term deposit, I'm on the highest marginal tax rate, and then I'm getting garnished some of it by the ATO. So they're taking some of it back.
And compared to 12 months ago when that's generating, you know, risk-free rate of return of 1% to 2%, it's now at, you know, 4% to 5% potentially.
Yeah, home loans are sort of getting up there. So, you know, most people would be paying on a variable rate somewhere sort of 4% or 5%.
Yeah.
So it's a decent return on investment, and probably when you compare that to what's happening in growth assets, we just saw sort of property prices predicted to drop anywhere between 20 to 40%, depending on who you're listening to.
Yeah.
I think some of that's overcooked.
Yeah, Philip Lowe said 10% today.
He came just tried to shore up the economy, which is good.
And he said they're up 25% since pre-pandemic. So he said you're still looking at 15% after that.
Don't worry about it.
It's all rosy.
What's 10, 20% off a multi-million dollar property
exactly
between friends? So, yeah, that's what I'd start. So that as a rule of thumb, offset account, if you don't have a loan, you know, you want sort of something interest-bearing, so online saver. And if you're proactive and shop that around, you might get 3% for some of these bonus rates. So you might get that for 3-4 months. And then turn
cash isn't looking as bad as what it used to.
It looks fantastic. It's looked the best it's looked in years. So cash may very well be the other new king that we've got going around with King Charles. So very much king on the front of the mind there. So, and what you might do is if you want to squeeze a little bit more out, you might look at term deposits as well. Just staggering it so you know you've got access to money when you need it. So I think high access, high liquidity, very, very low risk is what you're looking for with your cash reserve. I wouldn't be sort of putting it into growth assets such as shares or property or even like fixed income like bonds, you know, anything long term is going to still expose you to interest rate risk and capital risk as well. So that's how I would be looking at it. How would you be looking at what you do with rising interest rates from an investment perspective? Like, how do you make that decision about what goes where?
Yeah, so I think it's interesting the point that you made about relatively that it looks good. So what you've got to still look at is that, yeah, the mortgage rates are going up, but they're going up off a very, very low base. So as usual, what it always comes down to is what are your goals or what goals do you have? For some clients, that goal is becoming debt-free as soon as possible. Well then, okay, potentially paying off the mortgage and making extra repayments, that makes sense. For some clients, it's about wealth generation and getting towards financial freedom in inverted quotations, whatever that looks like. For certain people. So maybe compound interest needs to be taken into account. Particularly at the moment, what you've got is equities dropping. So your share portfolio going down, your interest rates going up, and that's starting to make some people reconsider about where their money goes. They're going, oh, I don't want to keep putting my regular savings plan in and seeing my balance continue to drop when I could be paying down my mortgage and kind of saving this percentage each month that I'm putting the funds in. So it always comes down to like what goals do you have? Because every dollar that you put into your loan, that's a dollar that's not getting invested and then getting that compound interest all the way. So, well, that's the type of things that you've got to be weighing up, because that risk-free rate of return is starting to become more advantageous or more attractive as it gets towards the 5-6% mark. If it starts to get towards 7%, then you're going to have to start to consider what that looks like. But I think it's important to have an eye on not just now, but also the future, but making sure that you've got enough funds obviously coming in that you are still able to pay that baseline mortgage. Because for some people, the cash flow may have changed dramatically with these interest rate rises. So you may no longer have that spare cash flow to invest at the moment. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you had a lot of good points there. So I won't dispute anything you've said there. But I would caution, as much as they do look more appealing, so they're higher than they were on January, you know, when we kicked off the year.
Yeah, the market's lower as well, so that could look more appealing. Well,
the market's lower, but also things are more expensive. So you got to remember, like, is your cash keeping pace with the cost of living? Mm. And there's the thing of inflation at the moment is running quicker than what interest rates are going up.
Yeah.
And the general consensus
is your real dollar value for people out there is each dollar's necessarily becoming worth less.
Yeah, well, it definitely is. Like, and I think we're sort of all feeling it. Like, real wages are not going up at the same rate as inflation, because inflation might be temporary. So we're not going to be going up at this rate.
Yeah.
I hope not every year. So you got to think, is cash really as appealing as it seems? Like, it is definitely better than it was in January as a like a raw figure. But yeah, is it real terms?
Okay, yeah.
Is
inflation minus your cash rate.
Yeah. So you got to sort of weigh that up and go, okay, you do need your money working for you. You want to make sure you're not going backwards by being too defensive at the same time. So, the general consensus is inflation will be higher than the cash rate for some time. So there's no talk that our sort of Reserve Bank or the central bank, like the Fed in the US, is going to sort of take rates above what the inflation rate is. So, yeah, that's something to consider as well. So there's a bit of a nuance in there. So you just got to get the balance right of don't go too defensive. But I do get the appeal of paying down debt and creating a buffer, because I think, you know, the risk of a recession, it's there.
Yeah.
So in recession, people lose jobs. So you have less certainty around where your next dollar is going to come from. If you've got high certainty, great. You know, you can sort of play on and maybe sort of, yeah, don't waste a crisis. Like, make sure you sort of got your money working. But at the same time, you just got to sort of weigh these things up and sort of think in real terms, not just go, term deposit rates are high, that's necessarily good.
Yeah.
Well, that's all relative to sort of what are my expenses? What's my lifestyle costing me?
Yeah, and maybe you can look at it as well as having the assets to extinguish that owner-occupied debt if you have to. So you could still be looking to build the investment portfolio with the idea that, at some time in the future, if need be, you could sell that down to extinguish some of that debt as well, rather than going, like, I have to pay down the debt. So I think there's always a reason that you can potentially look at doing both if you've got the cash flow that supports it. Mm. So if you are stressed about the rising interest rates, and like a lot of people are, it's the most common thing I'm hearing at the moment. Like, even all my mates are like, oh, send me to a mortgage broker. I need to look at my rates. My fixed rates are coming up, and they just keep going up. And I think it's the fact that they can't really see an end in sight at the moment, which is making people a little nervous as well. But making sure that you're taking everything into account, not just jumping and foregoing all those plans that you set 12 months ago, 18 months ago, because you might be foregoing some future wealth creating opportunities by doing that.
And probably the other one is, like, what's the order? Like, you know, what's the order of preference? What do you do? Like, how do you sort of frame this in a, I've got all the options available to me. I've got non-deductible debt. I've got an investment property loan. I've got a share loan. You know, I've got a credit card. I've got a cat online saver, and I've got investment portfolio. Like, where do I put it? So some people are going to be spot for choice. And I think the first place to start is pay down your highest non-deductible debt first.
Yep.
So if you've got credit card debt, don't be racking up interest expenses on something because it's probably 20% or more.
Yeah, and paying down extra on your home loan, right?
That's 5%. So you might feel better, but you're worse off. So you go, okay, that's the first one. And then you sort of might have like property-related debt that seems similar interest rates, but if one's deductible, one's not, you want to pay the non-deductible debt down first. And I think I'd caution against paying it as extra repayments if you have an offset available. So there are some terms and conditions, so make sure you sort of speak to your lending advisor. But paying down and your debt and having it in redraw, things can go wrong where terms might change, or you might just inadvertently, as part of a refinance, restructure things, and then that capacity disappears.
Yep.
And that just happens by accident sometimes. I'm not pointing the finger at any banks, but I have seen that happen a couple of times recently, that errors are made on a clerical perspective, and then basically that sort of evaporates. Whereas an offset account, you've got like absolute line of sight over, it's a bank account, so you can sort of access it readily. You just need to sort of manage the temptation factor of going to the ATM and going, oh, I've got lots of money, or just sort of opening up internet banking.
Just using it as a normal cash account.
And you can manage that by having multiple offset accounts. So most good banks out there offer multiple offset accounts without any extra fees. So if you need to squirrel one away and hide it from yourself on internet banking, that's great. And then try and contribute something to it every pay. I don't know, depending on if you get weekly, fortnightly, monthly, just get more money going into it. And then after you've covered your non-deductible debts, that's when you sort of move on and go, okay, decisions need to be made about, do I offset deductible debt? Well, you got to think through that and go, what's my marginal tax rate? Yep. Is this going to upset my negative gearing benefit potentially? And then you sort of go into comparing that and contrasting that, going, what could I earn after tax, so minus the tax off it, versus my deductible, deductible debt. What am I actually getting? What's my net return? So I think that's an important calculation to make. Once all that's sorted, you've got your 6 to 12 months of income needs sorted. Then you start to look for some investment opportunities, I think, and sort of don't get spooked by what's happening. See it as an opportunity, providing it aligns with your time frame. Yeah. And I think depending on your age, stage of life, whether or not that's in your personal name, in a trust, or in super, it's an exciting time. There's going to be opportunities in the property market. So growth assets are going to be on sale for some period of time yet. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know when we hit if we've already hit the bottom or whether we're there now. But I know we're sort of not at the top.
Yeah.
So then you sort of got to be proactive and start to sort of, get your money working for you once you've shored up all those other things. So that's sort of, in a nutshell, my approach to cash at the moment.
That's very good. Very good information. So is there anything else that we'd leave listeners with? I think we've pretty much covered off a lot on that particular topic, but is there any little last bits of gold that you'd leave people with?
I think like even in a portfolio, so in your investment portfolio, you've probably got some cash in there as well. Mm. So what you do with that is probably something to think about. Probably not as critical as what we're speaking about earlier. But let's say we've got sort of clients that are in, drawdown phase in super. Well, I think a similar cash reserving strategy needs to take place within your account-based pension as well.
Yep.
And it might be a bucketing strategy. We've got the same thing, like same principles apply. 6 to 12 months, you set it aside, maybe more. Like if you're in drawdown phase, you're not accumulating anymore. So it's probably more critical for you to sort of shore up your capital and make sure you're not forced to sell growth assets when you don't want to.
Yeah.
Because it could get a hell of a lot worse than this. Don't want to be the sort of the suck the room out of the, or the sort of the air out of the room, but things could get a hell of a lot worse.
A lot of doom and gloom out there at the moment. So.
Nah, it's fantastic. Spring has sprung. It's beautiful. And I think a lot of the headaches that we're seeing with inflation, it's because we've had a good run for quite a while. And that's sort of why it's pretty hard to stop this the train. But we're getting there. It's slowing down. Hopefully we've hit peak inflation. So fingers crossed the next read's a good one over in the States. And now on sort of follow suit.
Yeah. Very good. Well, I think that pretty much wraps us up for today's episode. If you've got any questions, feel free to email us at connect@picada.com.au. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.